Perhaps it's not a headline, but it's an important story this morning. Defense ministers from the 26 and counting members of the NATO alliance are gathering in London today. It's the first chance NATO has had to rethink its expansion plans in light of the conflict between Georgia and Russia. Also on the agenda are new tensions in Afghanistan over the deaths of civilians in that war against the Taliban, and the controversial cross-border raids into Pakistan. Covering the NATO meeting and the trip by Defense Secretary Robert Gates to London is BBC diplomatic correspondent and our friend Paul Adams. Paul, thanks for joining us.
John, how are you?
There's a lot on the table. Explain how ministers are going to prioritize all this.
There is a great deal on the table. I think it's going to break into two halves. Basically, you'll have tonight at an informal dinner a pretty detailed bit of soul-searching on how NATO should respond to the events of the summer. In other words, the war in Georgia and all the implications for NATO expansion and the plans on the table to invite both Georgia and Ukraine into the alliance. How on earth does NATO do that without further provoking the Russians, who are clearly anxious to assert their own sphere of influence, something which many NATO members are deeply apprehensive about. So that, I think, will dominate the discussions tonight. And
Indeed, Paul, just to hold on that for a second, I mean, it seems as though Medvedev and Putin have drawn a line in the sand on this. So it's not simply a matter of provocation.
Absolutely. I mean, they have made their intentions very clear. And those skeptics within NATO about the membership of Ukraine and Georgia will still say, look, in the case of Ukraine, you've got a country where the majority of the people don't actually want to join NATO. And that is one of the issues that's clearly at the heart of the political disputes at in government in Ukraine. And in the case of Georgia, a country with unresolved territorial disputes that were rather cruelly exposed over the summer, and a leadership in the shape of Mikhail Saakashvili, the president, perhaps with a bit of an inclination to do things, off the cuff and without letting people know. And do you really want a government like that inside the alliance? What would have happened if that war had taken place after Georgia joined NATO?
Exactly.
And Article 5 of the charter would have been invoked, the collective defense article. Would NATO really have wanted to go to war over such a foolhardy operation? So these are very difficult questions.
Those are two very great details. But the other big story out of London today is the discussions on the whole command structure of the Afghan war. Explain what's going on there.
Well, I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in some of the reporting, which suggests that the American desire is to bring the whole thing under one American-led command. Essentially, at the moment, you have NATO conducting operations in various parts of the country, and then a separate American-led operation, Enduring Freedom, which is principally about counterterrorism, about taking on the remnants of Al-Qaeda, all the cross-border stuff in Pakistan that we've been hearing such a great deal about recently. My understanding from NATO sources is that there is a plan afoot to bring those bits of the American-led operation that would more naturally fall to NATO. And in particular, that's things like embedded training units within the NATO command, leaving the separate OEF to get on exclusively with counterterrorism. And that does make a degree of sense.
Well, explain the relationship between the NATO ministers and Defense Secretary Gates, who's in London today. I gather he's speaking to the BBC, and that's going to air later on this afternoon. But is he sort of reporting to the ministers about U.S. intentions, or is he being called to answer for things like civilian deaths and the cross-border raids into Pakistan?
Well, I'm told that there will be no discussion, at least there is no planned discussion of operational details, and that would include Afghanistan. That is not the purpose of this meeting, and I don't think that the defense ministers are going to be lining up to jab Robert Gates in the chest and say, look, we've got to do something about civilian casualties. Everyone knows that that's a problem and it needs to be dealt with. What they are concerned about, and this is a perennial NATO problem, and this is what Des Brown, the British Defence Secretary, wants them to talk about tomorrow in a very, again, a very informal way, is how on earth does NATO get better at the business of stumping up the required hardware to conduct operations, whether they're Afghanistan or anywhere else. All the problems that we've heard about down the years, about helicopters, about heavy lift aircraft, the things which make it so hard for NATO to live up to its ambitions. And as NATO prepares for a big summit next year, marking its 60th anniversary, there is a feeling that NATO really has to grasp this one.
And Paul, what's your sense of the willingness of the members of NATO to up their commitment and resources in other ways to the war in Afghanistan?
Well, in some ways, the trend is in the opposite direction. We're going to see in the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years, almost certainly Canada and the Netherlands ducking out of the operation in Afghanistan. There is an acute consciousness that this is a very, very long-term operation. And the number of players willing to do the really difficult and dangerous stuff is actually dwindling. And that probably means that in the long run, there will be more American troops and perhaps more British troops, particularly as if things continue to go well in Iraq and the pressure is reduced in Iraq. But it will fall to Britain, the United States, perhaps France, to do more. That remains a big problem.
And it's politically sensitive, and it brings us around to your original issue. There's some financial realities here. The investments required to support the hardware to make it possible to do all these things suggests that an expansion of NATO is even a financial overreach at this point, and that's really on the table in London.
Yep, there are all sorts of implications. I mean, I think the principal preoccupation with the expansion is how do you do it without angering the Russians any more than they are right now.
That's the first thing.
But also a feeling, and this is very much voiced by Condoleezza Rice, by Robert Gates, we are not going to be bullied into saying, no, Ukraine and Georgia, you've got to wait until the Russians calm down. Quite the reverse. I think they are going to push very, very strongly for NATO to go to press ahead and to move towards the what's called the membership action plan for those two countries, conscious that that is going to continue the division and the suspicion that currently exists between NATO and the Russians. I don't see any way in which this really sour relationship is going to get better anytime soon.
Well, Paul Adams, it's important to note that a year ago, probably 2 years ago, the idea of this tense of a discussion on this issue would not have been envisioned. Paul Adams, BBC correspondent, diplomatic correspondent in London. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
My pleasure.
Which takes
sour
us to the end of the show.
Yes. I think that's the takeaway
They have sumptuous meals there at the NATO when they get together, but I don't know, the talk's going to be not so sumptuous. Lots of ways to catch up with us at the Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, FriendFeed, and Facebook.
And we're talking about colleges today. What do you wish you knew before you went?
John Dartmouth. My father died my senior year in high school. I was so ill-prepared to decide where I wanted to go to school after that, let alone before that happened. I think I'm no different than the hundreds of thousands of kids that try to get into college every year. I think we're not prepared. We don't know what we're looking for because we don't even know who we are.
That's an interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
I would
great.
Like to hear your thoughts on where to go to college and would you have made a different decision with different information today? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
Here's your takeaway for today.
If you don't understand it, don't buy it.
Good advice for anyone. That's David Weiss. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.